Friday morning, it was devastating to learn the news that over 150 whales had been beached at Hamelin Bay, right near Augusta. One of the reporters that were there that brought us some of the incredible footage that really just kind of sunk in with a lot of people's hearts was Therese Coleman from the Augusta Margaret River Times. I now have her on the line. Talk me through it. What exactly was all happening there?
Well, the first thing really is when you got down to Hamelin Bay, what was quite shocking is that you could see for at least a kilometre the whales lining the beach. So from that sort of iconic part of Hamelin Bay where that old jetty is, it just looked like a bunch of big black rocks out further up the beach. But as you sort of made your way up the beach and you realised that these were whales, ones of which you couldn't quite tell whether or not they were alive or passing away, and it was just surreal, to be honest. I've never experienced anything like that before. Just the vast number of them was shocking. That's really all that you can describe it as.
The number of volunteers, but was good to see, to try and help out these whales to the best that they could.
Yeah, that's true. So I think that Deepaw were notified at about 6 a.m. by commercial fishermen. But when I got to the beach at 9 o'clock in the morning, there was already about 100 people down there willing to help. So that was fantastic to see. And they'd come from everywhere, from Augusta, Margaret River, Busselton, Bunbury, as far as they could have come.
That's good to hear that they tried to help. Do we know how many whales ended up actually surviving?
So the last time I did my research was last night at about 6 p.m. And at that time, only 5 had survived. On Friday afternoon or Saturday morning, I know that they sent 7 more out to sea. It's about 5 of those have survived. So considering there were more than 150 to begin with, it's a really high fatality rate, and that's what makes it so sad, I think.
And absolutely, and also brings along that shark alert as well there by Hamelin Bay.
Yeah, that's the other thing. There were a number of environmental factors. The big swell that came in over the weekend, so they needed to do what they could at that time in case some carcasses were sort of washed around. But also, yeah, the shark alert for sure. That decaying whale carcasses is a big attraction, and it's a popular beach, especially for holiday makers and for weekends. So that was another concern as well.
Absolutely. Well, we do appreciate your coverage. We did see some of the videos and, very confronting stuff. Thanks for sparing some time to chat with us this morning.
No worries. Thank you.
Really, really a disappointing day for cricket. I got to say, this news this morning, hearing all about it, it almost breaks your heart, doesn't it, really?
It does. Sports enthusiasts everywhere with head in hands this morning. We're taking some callers about ball tampering, Alan.
Barry from Bridgetown. Morning, mate.
Yeah, how you going, Al?
I'm doing pretty well, mate. Do you feel a little ashamed to be an Australian today, waking up to this news?
Well, I'm ex-military and, totally bloody not happy. I'm of the opinion if they don't know the rules, they shouldn't be playing cricket.
Mate, perfect. I couldn't agree with you more, mate.
It's pretty straightforward. I had a lot of time for Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I take no prisoners. Bang, he should be gone.
Out of the team completely.
Finished.
His whole career. You don't want to see him in 2020? No. International test, getting rid of him.
No, if he can't play fair, he shouldn't be playing at all.
What about Bancroft, mate?
Well, he's in a bit of a situation. I don't really know the whole story, but he's only a young guy. He's probably got a bit of peer pressure. I feel sorry for him. He's probably maybe the meat in the sandwich. Who knows?
Mm.
As far as the whoever's instigated it, whether it be the coach or whatever, they should be gone. Finished.
Couldn't agree more, mate. Thanks for your call today.
Yeah, no hassles.
I got Roger from Boyan up on the air, mate. How are you feeling this morning?
Pretty disappointed, mate. Pretty disappointed.
Seems to be the general consensus, mate. What do you think punishment-wise? Do you think we need to drag these guys over the hot coals when they get back in the country or what?
They've both got to come back, Warner and Smith, and they've both got to go. It's setting a very, very poor example to our children that are growing up playing sport, no matter what sport they're playing. It's almost as bad as drug cheating, I would say.
I think that's pretty fair. Aaron, what do you think?
Yeah, it's a good call, Roger. Do you reckon, mate, this represents a bit of a line in the sand moment for us to have a... we've been copping it lately with regard to, you know, sledging and that sort of stuff. Do we have a line in the sand moment here to raise our standards in terms of the spirit of cricket?
Oh, definitely. I mean, even the sledging has gone too far. Some of the carry-on that these blokes go on with, it's just not a very good example for our younger kids growing up through sport. And we really need to set an example and say to the young kids, look, this is just not how it's done. We need to get back to the good old days of fair play where, yeah, I mean, if you bowl somebody out or you catch somebody, yeah, give them a bit of a send-off. But some of the stuff that's been going on has just been right over the top.
Couldn't agree more, mate. Thanks for your call today.
No worries. Thank you.
Thanks, Roger.
Some great points there. You know, it's hard to disagree with stuff like that, you know.
Exactly, yeah. Strong thoughts here from Barry and Roger. Appreciate them for their calls.
At the end of the day, a lot of, like, this is coming from me. I'm not a cricket fan. Mm. I'll be 100% transparent with you. But I'm disappointed as an Australian. Like, and I know that sounds so kind of wanky almost to say, but it offends me that this has even happened on such a big scale level, because whenever another country is even slightly accused of ball tampering, we come on them so hard. We come down on them so hard. But so when it's Australia, you expect better of your own country. Very exciting news to learn this over the weekend. A great little story, and more importantly, a great result here for the Southwest, a particular one region of Margaret River. I now have on the line for the Perth Bureau and the Australian to talk to me all about this. I've got Victoria Laurie. Morning to you.
Good morning.
Margaret River rating pretty highly.
Well, it's always rated highly with me. I love the place, and but it's... it's called, it's one of the, what they call, what we're calling the Goldilocks towns. So what happened was the Weekend Australian magazine wanted to look at towns around Australia that were not too big, not too small, with just the right mix of kind of good Aussie qualities, like a fair go, you know, below average unemployment, above average income, all that stuff. And in the mix came Margaret River. So that was really terrific.
Now, you've been lucky enough to go out there and explore it all as well.
Yeah. Look, I've come and go to Margaret River reasonably often. And what's always struck me about it is the vitality of the place. And what came out in our figures was that the population of under 18s is 28% in Margaret River, and nationally it's 22%. So it's young. And then the over 65s are 10%, and nationally it's 16%. So what you've got is a dynamic mix in Margaret River of energetic younger people, creative, and very often well-educated older people retiring in Margaret River. And that makes for an incredibly good mix of vitality and hope and all that. And that's what Bernard Salt, our demographer, was looking for in what he calls Australia's Goldilocks towns.
Absolutely. Some of the figures are just so great to see versus the rest of the country. For example, the voluntary work, the amount of people did the last 12 months, 25.5%, where the rest of the Australia averages about 19%. Things like unemployment being 4.9% versus Australia's average of 6.9%. It really is doing better than majority of the country.
It is. And in fact, one of my interviewees in the piece I wrote to go with Bernard's figures, just to sort of give a snapshot of Margaret River and why people love there. One of the people, Sarah Kamini, who's a terrifically creative person who's lived in some of the world's biggest cities, you know, Barcelona, Los Angeles, Paris, she says she really loves Margaret River because, you know, the way she describes it is it's insanely supportive. And I just love that term, insanely supportive.
Now, there's only one problem with this beautiful article you've written about the beautiful Margaret River and naming it one of Australia's top country towns. And that's the risk of now everyone wanting to move there.
look, it is. I mean, as Serena says, it is a destination of choice. You don't accidentally end up there because, you know, I mean, Margaret River is cheaper than median house prices. Mm-hmm. The national house price is $548,000. In Margaret River, it's $495,000. But you've still got to have a bit of cash. So, you know, you've got to make a few choices and as I say, be creative in how you make a life there. So Not sure everyone's going to flood there, but wouldn't we all like to spend some time there?
Most certainly would. Well, thank you very much for the chat today. I do appreciate it, Victoria.
You're welcome.
With your weekend sports roundup, it's Out of Bounds on the Southwest's Triple M.
Yes, and Aaron's with me for really what was a massive weekend of sport. Plenty to talk about, mate.
No doubt about that, my friend. The Tapegate fiasco is front and centre this morning. This is going to drag on all week, Al. Mm. In the event that the five-man leadership group are all suspended, this is a little speculative, but Australia could take the unprecedented step of calling up some backup cricketers to South Africa for Friday's final test. So Smith's already out. If they suspend the entire leadership group, guys like Warner, Stark, Hazelwood, Lyon could be making way for the likes of Hanscom, the uncapped Richardson and Sayers. Matty Renshaw and Joe Burns from Queensland could be flowing over straight from the Sheffield Shield final. The internal Cricket Australia investigation currently underway will tell all. Optus Stadium has officially been christened the new home of footy in WA. Not the way Eagles fans would have liked.
No.
Buddy Franklin's bag of eight terrorised the Eagles for the first three and a half quarters in the Swans' 29-point win over West Coast. Nick Nat surpassed expectations in his first game back. He dominated the ruck, 33 hitouts, kicked the goal as well from an acute angle. From only 55% of game time, showed why the Eagles are a significantly better team with him out on the ground. Not the best start for 2018 for the Dockers either. Adelaide Oval Saturday afternoon, the Power turned it on to run away with a comprehensive 50-point victory. Lachie Neale worked hard. Alex Pearce, great to see him back playing his first AFL game after 672 days. He kept Charlie Dixon pretty quiet for the most part. 22 touches to 5 for Sandilands, 52 hitouts. They battled hard. F1, Ferrari's Sebastian Vettel has had the last laugh by leaving an upstage Lewis Hamilton in disbelief with an upset Australian Grand Prix victory in Melbourne yesterday. Roger Federer has saluted Tenisi Kokkinakis after losing to the Aussie at the Miami Open and relinquishing his number one world ranking.
Oh.
Kokkinakis ranked 175th, rally to upset
wow.
Federer 3-6, 6-3, 7-6 in the second round. That's the biggest win of his injury-marred career.
Geez.
And special mention on the way out, too, to the Western Bulldogs AFLW team. Very deserving premiers after a 6-point win over Brisbane at the very wet Icon Park on the weekend. Well done, girls.
Yeah, tightest grand final we've seen for a while, so I love it. We'll take it.
Exactly, yeah. And remarkably, the exact same scoreline as last year's AFLW grand final.
There you go.